for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, July the 3rd, 2004. First service of the July Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
And I love you because God put something in my heart. I was not a loving man. We won't talk about that. It's been washed away. But I hope that every one of you came here tonight with expectations and that you came to this campgrounds with expectations. And we're going to trust the Lord. But I like to just stand up when you pray too, so Glenn just got comfortable. But I'd like to pray. Father, I praise you and I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for everybody here. I thank you, Father, for your hand of mercy. I thank you that we can turn down and turn off all the confusion and the manipulation from the outside, Father. We're your family and we're together here in your holy presence, Father. I thank you that we can have ears to listen. I thank you, Father, that I can hear what you would have me to share and not any ideas that are my own. I thank you, Father, for just this is a taste, Father, just a taste of what we have someday in the future. But I thank you that we can hold tight and see victory as we hold on to the Lord, as He will never let loose of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you. It saddens me that I can't stay for the whole camp, but I just tell a little something. My wife and I had never been on vacation in any way for 19 years, and a bunch of believers. I was up in Massachusetts, I think, ministering. And I get a phone call, and they say, there's some of us got together. We want you to go on an Alaskan cruise. And I said, well, that sounds special. And they said, no, we want to pay for it. And I said, well, give me some time to pray about this. And Patty and I were talking about receiving tonight. It was a real lesson in receiving because those things aren't cheap. And I have work in Eastern Europe, mostly Romania. And I'll tell you, because of lack of funds, the government kidnapped my children. And some of them we've never seen again. So I know what it's like to come up on the short end of things. But I prayed about it, and the Lord says, hey, Carl, you've had a secret desire for years to go on a cruise to Alaska. Now, how do you think they chose that? That humbled me. Because, see, it's pride when we don't receive. And it's pride if you don't receive tonight. Okay? So receive. All right? Either that or we'll lock the doors, right? But no. But please receive. It was a real blessing. But it kind of put a push on our schedule. So we were only home 2 days before I came here. My wife really wanted to be here. She sends her love. I know that she's really praying for this meeting because we really love Glenn. And we love everybody here, Doc, everybody. The staff here is some of the finest Christian servants in the world. And I know a bunch of them in different countries that are really great. But we are really blessed. It blesses me to see an increase in the numbers since the last time I was here. And if I had my way, I'd come to every meeting. But we all have things to do that we haven't done. Did you hear me? You know, we're here for healing and deliverance. But if you don't pour out, you can't take in. All right? If you're not pouring out, you're stagnant. Has anybody ever stirred up a stagnant swamp? It's not a pleasant experience. And that's get rid of the things, even the good. Put the past behind. Let's move forward. Even the good past. All right? I mean, we can be thankful without staying in our comfort zone. I was complaining a little earlier about the humidity because I just came from Alaska and Canada, and Western Washington. We're up there for just about 3 weeks. A week of it was a cruise, the rest was ministering. And I live in New Mexico where there is no humidity. And I get here and it's like, woof. And anyway, someone's from up here talked about their flesh, you know. You're talking to me, sister. And, you know, it's just, if it was really miserable, it'd still be good to be here. And I need to get used to this humidity anyway, because I'll be in Romania. Well, it'll be the 13th when I leave, 14th when I get there. And believe me, they don't have air conditioning or fans. And it gets very humid and sticky there. So this world's not perfect. You know, a lot of things have entered in. But we have so much to be thankful for. And if we are not thankful, then we got some brain damage and we need to ask for deliverance. All right? There's always things to be thankful for. Always things. Always things. I don't care what is going on. If you just lost a loved one, I was with Glenn when Irma went to sleep to be with the Lord. And I think about the fourth or fifth word out of your mouth is about thankfulness, Glenn. And that taught me volumes of what it is to be a man or a woman of God. You know, because in the most hurtful times, when we give thanks, guess what it is? That's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. All right? When you don't feel good and you're praising the Lord, that's a sacrifice of praise. It's not a big deal to give $100 when you got $10,000 in the dresser drawer. All right? But if you don't have much and you have more bills than you got and you give, that's a sacrifice. And I've never seen it fail that when we would give, not only from our abundance, but to give from the areas that are tight. It's amazing how God opens doors. And that wasn't even really where I was going tonight, but that's no extra charge. But I really would like to go to Mark in chapter 16, because see, this is what we come for: deliverance, we come for healing, we come for salvation of our souls. But if somebody doesn't go, it can't be done. You know, we got men here that are, and women are here that are retired. The world says they're not retired. You know, I was talking to Doc earlier tonight, you know, and I said, in your retirement, you're so busy you don't have time to work, do you? And it's the way it is. You know that. A lot of you know that, see? And that's the way our life is to be full. And Jesus, the last thing, you think about this. You know, he was anxious to be with his Father. And when they went up on that mountain, he was, I believe probably there was, I won't say it was a heaviness, but I can't think of a better word, so I'll use that. But he knew that he was leaving to be with the Father. And he knew that these are the men that are to take the Christian church and move it. And I believe these words, he really grasped the Father's heart when he shared these words. These words got a hold of me a lot of years ago. I've never been the same. But he said in verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Where? Don't you think that at least starts with your neighbor? Right? Okay. So go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't say if they do want or don't want to hear it, don't do it, right? It does not say that if you say that, I'm going to fire you, and you, oh, good Lord, I give me a break. What is your sufficiency? All right? I'm not trying to start, well, maybe I am. But, man, if we don't start speaking about Jesus Christ, you know, we'll speak about the political issues, but there's something that's above political issues, and it's our nation, brothers and sisters, needs deliverance. Do you agree? You know, this is a deliverance ministry. This is a deliverance camp. I wish we could take Congress and set them in here.
Yeah.
You know, and have some men and women of God that aren't intimidated by people in authority, that they can see that they have authority in Christ Jesus, than nothing. Every knee has got to bow to the name of Jesus, and you better start believing it and quit backing down. Don't be intimidated. I have a daughter that's out to lunch right now. It's a sad thing, but I know what Book of Acts promises. Says me and my whole house. And she informed me that we couldn't talk about Jesus Christ, so I didn't say nothing. And she's trying to get conversation going. You know, I'm a blabbermouth, but I'm not saying nothing. And finally she says, so what, you're mad or something? I didn't say nothing. So her husband's talking about the blues. He works for AT&T, and I didn't say nothing. So finally he says, are you mad? I didn't say nothing. And that's not easy for me. But anyway, finally they said, well, Dad, don't you understand we don't believe in Jesus? And I said, that's a damn lie. And by the way, damned is in the Bible. All right? It's cursed. It means cursed. And I said, you do believe. You're just denying them. That's even the devil believes. So don't you tell me you don't believe. They said, well, we just don't like to talk about it. I said, that's a personal problem. It's not mine. But I said, I'll tell you what. I don't want to hear about your job. I don't want to hear about your problems. If I can't talk about what my work is, which isn't work, then I don't want to hear about yours. So, you know, it did, I can't say there was a great victory, but I didn't back down, and we stayed sociable. And I told them a few things that they needed to hear. But at least there was none of this pressure stuff. See, if you don't back down, you don't have to be a bully, but you don't have to back down. You don't have to back down. I don't care what the devil says. You know what? He is a liar. He was born and he's created. Right after he's created, become a liar. And you're never going to get the truth out of him. Absolutely, you will never, ever, ever, ever get the truth out of Satan. You cannot negotiate with steel, kill, and destroy. So if you want to be delivered and you want to be set free, quit negotiating with a damn liar. Yeah. Cursed liar makes you feel better. But quit it. You know what? The Word of God, I see Ten Commandments t-shirt back there. I want one of them. Put that in my box. All right? But you know what? It's not suggestions. It's not hints. And it's not comfortable conversation, brother. It's the Ten Commandments. All right? Why did God come up with such a crazy thing as that? Well, you ask him, okay? But they work. Well, you don't believe in grace? Oh, if it wasn't for grace, I'd have got fried before I got born. Good Lord. I'm a grace case, okay? And frosted with mercy. I believe in it. I depend on it. But I do know that what is wrong in the old administration is wrong in this administration, okay? It doesn't change. And God set a standard. And he says, no other gods before me. Isn't that what he says? Then you can't let, oh, my religion. Well, I don't want religion. I want godliness and Christianity, okay? It's not a private thing, okay? My relationship with the Lord is private. Well, give me a break. Come on, think a minute. Excuse me, sister, but this is your head, right? This is your arm, right? That's your knee, right? That's an ear. It's part of the head. But you know what? The body can't be in touch without being in touch with the head. And there's a communication that goes on all through the body to get to the head. We are the body of Christ. Get used to it. Okay? We are the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head. Jesus is the Lord. All right? And he's saying, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to everybody. It doesn't say the guy that gets offended. The man's not, or woman's not being offended. It's the devil's in them. It really is. We can find a way to communicate, reach out to the Lord. Listen to this. He says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful? How can they believe if you don't tell them? Romans, right? How do you believe without a preacher? You're all preachers. Okay? All right? How can they believe if they haven't heard? But he that is baptized, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. Now, maybe it doesn't say it in your Bible. I use the King James. That's the one Jesus used, and you know. But it's a private interpretation, I suppose. But it says damned. You could say cursed. But you know what? It's a serious thing that if you do not believe. Praise God, you believe, right? Is Jesus your Lord? Is he really? I can't hear you. All right. Amen. It's not a private thing. Jesus is my Lord, too. Praise God. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, that's a serious thing, folks. We need to be speaking the word to people. You know what? If you see somebody, I was in Washington ministering. I do not understand this. If anybody's got a revelation on this one, you tell me. I have ministered to more people with fibromyalgia in Western Washington and Western Oregon than anywhere else in the United States. And the only state I have not ministered in is Hawaii. And someday, Lord willing, maybe I'll go there too. But it's an amazing thing. And bipolar is the other thing. And both these are from the same devils. But if you don't go to those people that got it and tell them, sister, you don't have to suffer like that. The husband says, don't talk to my wife like that. Well, maybe you're the reason she's suffering. I'm not picking on you guys, but you're sitting in the spitting anointing room. But get Bob next. But see, offer. You see somebody with a problem, why do you think you're seeing that problem? You think God wants you to see problems? Huh? Oh, God is good. Yes, he is. He's ferocious, too. All right? And he don't back down. But I'll tell you what, if you see someone with a problem, guess what, brother? You got the answer. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, I don't know what to say. Well, good. Then ask God. And speak what he gives you. Speak what he gives you. He'll give you a word. You speak it, guess what? There'll be some more that follows. You don't have to sit and hand out tracts, but if that's what you do, it's fine. But you know what? Just let the Lord give you words to start speaking. You know? It works here in Arkansas, too. Right? Somebody on the airplane says, tell the people that. I said, I know it won't bother them. But see, it works wherever you go if you will speak. Okay? And he says, preach. Go into all the world and preach, right? And it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Right? In my name, not Carl's. In Jesus' name, in my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Oh, we don't believe in that. Well, I got news for you. The night, just Romania in April, I guess it was, the last night I'm leaving, I'm in this church, and there's a whole bunch of a denomination that wants to deny the power of God. They're wonderful, they're Christians, but they don't want to do with nothing to do with the Holy Spirit stuff, you know? And yet they came. Well, I went where the Lord led me. And I made healing available afterwards and deliverance. And we're praying, and this lady, I said, sister, come here a minute. And is that your husband? And he come up too. And she says, you can speak in English. I understand English. I said, well, you need to interpret it because people need to hear what's going on. And God had showed me that there was a baby in her womb, and its little body was being twisted. You'd understand that better than I would, Doc. But anyway, and I said, you're pregnant. And she said, yeah. I mean, she was like 2 months or something like that. She didn't show it. And I said, and they both started crying. And they says, the doctor said that the baby will automatically abort within days. This is our third pregnancy. And my womb cannot bear a child. And I said, well, that's a lie. I said, the doctor lied to you. They said, what? I said, he lied to you. Show me that in the Bible. And so anyway, and then I just done what God told me to. I said, sit down. She sat down. I said, put your legs out. She did. And I commanded the other leg to come out, and everything started moving, and she stood up. And I said, to the pastor of that church, I says, if there's a problem with that pregnancy, you call me Collect in America. I haven't gotten any phone calls. I know that baby's okay. But you know what? That other group was off on the other side of the church arguing about what they didn't. We don't agree with that. And they didn't even see this lady get delivered and healed. See? You know, am I going to stop because of that? No. See, it is not. It doesn't say anything in here. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It doesn't say to convince. That's up to the people what they do with it. But it's our job to speak it. You know, it says in my name, in Jesus' name, we shall cast out. It says shall, not maybe. It says we shall. You know, we know that many times, fact is, I don't know a time when it isn't true, that when someone needs healing and deliverance, I've never found it to fail anymore that there's a devil behind it. You know, maybe everybody don't agree with me, but that's okay. But the bottom line is that it's just the truth. And we got to get rid of them. So I want to tell you, everybody here, that don't get offended if somebody casts the devil out of you. All right? Oh, but Christians can't be possessed. Well, that's a doctrine of devils. Don't believe it. There's only one that ever walked the face of this earth that didn't get possessed. His name was Jesus. And it's still his name. It's the name above every name. So don't you think that, you know, that you're such hot stuff that Satan's going to leave you alone. And don't you be afraid of him, because 1 John tells me that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, right? Amen. That's our promise. And he who the Son sets free is what?
Free.
Free indeed. But we got to believe it. Amen? They shall speak with new tongues. Sometimes just speaking positive for some people is a new tongue.
Amen.
We're not talking about an unknown tongue, just to speak. And yet Jesus said, you'll have what you say. Well, why is all these problems? Check your vocabulary. You know what the barometer is of your faith? Do you want to know? This is the way you can check where your faith is at. And it will never fail. Do you want to know? Or should we just move on? You want to know? Oh, okay. It's what comes out of your mouth shows where your faith is. You know, when someone comes up to you and says, I've got, and then they go off on a tirade of illnesses, stop them there. Why would you claim that? Oh, but the doctor said so. The Bible says by Jesus' stripes, you was healed. R is the Old Testament, brother. You was healed. You know what that means? You pray, you're healed. Well, what if it doesn't happen? You know, for 2.5 years, my arm just dangled. All the meat just dried up. There's just skin over it. And yet I kept saying, I'm healed. The doctor one day, some of you have heard this. I'm going to tell you anyway, tough. But he said, here, he wrote out this prescription to give it to me. So I really would like to have you go see this doctor, Mr. Fox. And I looked at him and I said, is he a shrink? He said, oh, we don't call him that. I says, I do. And I said, you don't believe in healing. You need to go. You're crazy. And he looked at me. And I said, oh, by the way, you're fired. If you don't believe in God, you're not going to have anything to do with me, baby. Amen? And I said, get my file ready. I said, I'll find a doctor that believes in Jesus Christ. And I did. There's many of them. And when I first came in his office, he was looking at my file, and he was in stitches. He said, you wouldn't believe what this man wrote. I said, I got a pretty good idea. He said, you really rattled his cage. I thought, well, he can't stand before God and say, I didn't know. Right? And maybe it's changed his life. I don't know. But, you know, look at nobody cut. And you're a big guy, but you know what? I got a better right arm than you got because God made this one right. Okay? You know, he made it right. Okay? And it's at least as good. But the thing about it is, if you hold on to the promise and you keep confessing that promise, there is no if, ands, and buts about it, it's the truth. And you say, oh, but my pain. Well, yeah. Well, quit saying it's your pain. How can you get delivered when you keep inviting the devil in? Amen? You cannot be set free when you keep closing the jail door. If you're going to close it, get outside of it and slam it shut, okay?
Yeah.
Don't. Well, how do I change my confession? I have to cry out to the Lord. Lord, help me with my confession. Amen? He will do it. See, the heart of deliverance, healing, salvation, all of it is Jesus Christ, and every bit of it takes confession. Every bit of it, there's none of it that will work without confession. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you might get saved if you go to... No. You shall be saved. Amen? See? Well, that's a wonderful salvation scripture, okay? But you know what it is? It's also a healing scripture. If you can't say anything else in your pain, then just say Jesus. Confess with your mouth Jesus. Okay? Just say Jesus, even if it's a moan. Jesus. Man, the spasms I would get in that paralyzed arm, and that's what I would have to do. And you know what? It works. It works. God has not favored any one of us above another. All right? And Satan doesn't hate you more than he hates me. All right? He's hate. His ministry, John 10:10, is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus drew a line in the sand. He's steal, kill, and destroy. Well, I hope I didn't stain the carpet. That's a line in the sand. Okay? To steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Which side's got the most space? This side, right? Jesus' side. You know why? Because it's an eternal promise. It's an eternal promise. And he's with us every step of the way. And he's with us to whatever degree that we will permit. But anyway, in 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. If you never got healed, what more do you need? Israel wasn't called the sons, were they? Were they? They were adopted. They were his chosen nation. But see, we're his children. For you ladies, we'll say daughters and sons, okay? But you know what? It's an intimate relationship. But if you won't get along with your big brother and God, it's not their fault that it's not intimate. It's up to us in our relationship to have. But what a wonderful thing. John, just seeing it is just the matter of love that God had for us. But that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Now, come on. It's time to realize you're not going to be popular and serve the Lord. Okay? And even some Christians are going to get offended. But don't take it personal. John was, someone said, I don't know if it's true, some historians claim he was boiled in oil. I don't know. You know, but, you know, I'll tell you one thing. That man suffered. And in his lifetime, he's seen the Christian church start deteriorating. But John knew the love of the Father, and he knew the love of the Son. And that was his heartbeat. Was the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13:13, Paul said, now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, the greatest is love. And guess what? You know what abide means? Someone could say to me, well, where do you abide, Brother Carl? If I say I abide in New Mexico, I'm lying because I'm here. Abiding means where you're at. See, and if you're abiding in faith, hope, and love, you have those three. You know, faith is so required because it's how we please the Father. It says, you know, in Hebrews, it says the only way to please Him is by faith. And yet, it says the greatest is love. So these are pretty important ingredients. And see, these are keys to deliverance. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, right?
Amen.
Well, he didn't just stop there. Jesus so loved the Father that he obeyed. He obeyed. You know, he didn't deserve to go through the abuse and the torture. He's the last person that ever was on this planet that you know, that deserve that. He done that. He's already paid the price, folks. There's going to be some great ministering this week. And if you'll just believe that it's already been paid for, okay? It's paid in full. And just come here. And I'm in agreement that some of the hottest meetings we have here is 6 o'clock in the morning. And I make it just about every morning because it is an awesome time. Because there's just a presence of the Lord. There's such a love. There's so much love here. And if you really want to get to understand Dr. Bill Knowles, come to the prayer meeting, okay? And just watch the love that he ministers with. He doesn't come off with as any heavy authority. There isn't a thing for you to be pushed away or frightened of. And if you are, it's because there's some devils that are lying to you, okay? You know, it is. There should be as pretty much as many people as is here should be here. Wouldn't that be great, Doc? Huh? Huh? God is good, see, and that's what it's all about. But I really encourage you to come. I mean, this camp is about deliverance. It's about salvation of our soul. You can't really separate. It's about healing. You can't separate these things. But unfortunately, deliverance is an area that the church has looked at as being, oh, they're weird, they're dirty, you know, whatever. But I'll tell you what, when people are delivered, they've got a message. Yeah, amen? Yeah. Anybody here been delivered?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And I'll take some more. Amen? I'll take more. You know, I mean, you have something. You have something for mankind. We live in a lost world. And it's our job to draw people back. But verse 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Can you imagine? See, where Corinthians says we see through a glass darkly. You know, and this is a prayer that works sometimes. When God has given me pieces of information on something that needs to be dealt with, and I've asked Him, I say, Father, would You turn the lights up? Because, see, it's like looking out that door this afternoon. You could look out there and see, but now you can't. But if somebody turns the light on, you can see more. And if you ask God, He will reveal more to you. See, it's relationship. It's not that somebody is loved by God more. Because He loves even the unbeliever that's down at Joe's Bar and Grill getting drunk and making fun of us. He loves them just as much as He loves us that's here. Okay? God loves. And because He loves, His promises are for us and for a lost world. And if we're going to get talked into saying, oh, we can't talk about Jesus in the workplace, then it's time that we take away all talk in the workplace. Okay? Seriously. Maybe I'm radical, but, you know, it's the way it is. It's time that we get over being ashamed of Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus said that if you're ashamed of Me, I'm ashamed of you. He said that if you'll confess My name before men, I'll confess your name before the Father which is in heaven. Amen? You're talking about how much you've been... Really, Hebrews have been opened up to you. But the more you confess Jesus, the more that will open up to you. Amen? Well, what if they don't want to hear it? That's a personal problem. They need Jesus, right? You know, another place He says He'll speak your name before the angels if you're speaking His name before mankind. Well, sometimes the only way your prayers are going to get answered is going to take some angels. It's going to take some of them spiritual heavyweights. Amen? And I sure don't want them to have to go to have a meeting and look up maps and everything else and try to figure out Carl who. You know? Because they're there just that quick. Amen? And they go into battle and battles that we can't because we're bound up in a body. And they're free, see? And they obey. And they're there. You know? And they can't understand why we would be ashamed of Jesus. They cannot understand that. So if you've been caught in that trap, ask God to forgive you. He will, all right? You don't have to push it down the throat. They say, I don't want to hear about it. Say, fine. No, fine. But at least give them a chance. And I'd try to find another way later on in the conversation to bring them up again. But, you know, but the thing about it is because we have a nation that could turn around. Now, there's different doctrines about that, but I believe that this nation could turn around. That with all the things that's coming down, all the things that's written in Revelation and everything else, I cannot see, and some of you guys that are more brilliant than me, that's all of you probably, but if I'm missing something in the Bible, I'm glad to look, okay? But I believe that this nation could be standing for Jesus Christ until the very end. I believe that, okay? And you know where it's... the devil didn't want me to say that one. Do you know where it starts? With you and with me. You can sit and say, well, what can I do? You know, these... You know? You do your part. Quit looking at your neighbor and judging him. You know, quit looking at the Democrats or quit looking at the Republicans. I'm a monarchist. I got a king. Okay? Amen? And he's my king. And I'm going to speak. You know, people want to drop names. I talked with such and such the other day, and I got a letter from, you know, these legends in their mind. Give me a break. You know, I say when people give me that line, I say, oh, really? You know who I was talking to just 5 minutes ago? It's Jesus. Did you ever hear him? You know? You know, let's bring Jesus into more conversations. All right? He didn't hesitate. He didn't worry about what was going to happen to him in taking your battle. He took your battle. He took your battle. You hear me? Can you say, my battle? Jesus took my battle. I can't hear you. Amen. See, he took it. But you know what? If you're holding on to it, he's a gentleman. He's not going to yank it out of your hands. All right? He took, and he also was victorious in your battle. Do we have battles before us? Of course. The promised land was promised by God Almighty. And yet, how many kings did they have to fight? I don't know, 19? How many? Do you know how many? 18, well, 19 is close, that's a good. But it was more than a couple, I'll tell you that. And there were some terrible battles. And they made some mistakes. So do we. See, we got 1 John 1:9. When we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, I hear some of these preachers that say, well, that's a salvation scripture. Well, it's a salvation scripture for a Christian. 1 John is written to the Christian. Okay? But see, you need salvation. You're born again, but you need salvation. You know, we're working out, you know, the salvation of our souls, right? Huh? Being saved. Yeah. It's a being delivered, being healed, being set free. It's a battle. Steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm not saying these things to discourage you. Get encouraged. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Absolutely greater. All right? And it's the truth, if you will believe it. This night I was going to share some stuff about the bastard curse, and then Jim says he's going to. And so I'm going to shut up about that. But no, honestly, I'm going to, because if you want to hear what I got to say, I'm putting a commercial in for my book. But I'm just going to go somewhere else. I'm glad you're teaching on it, okay? Because the only place that Satan can be in your life, and every one of us knows this deep in our heart, the only place that Satan can get a grip in your life is where he's got legal rights. He cannot, if we do not leave an opening. Okay, well, we have to deal with the sins and iniquities and transgressions of our ancestors. And that's a big part of the bastard curse. I mean, that thing is 10 generations, 400 years, more or less. You know, you don't even know what your kids did last night, let alone your great-aunt Gertie. Right? Well, I am going to share something that's in the book, because I've never seen anybody else just share it about this subject. But the reason the church is in such a trouble today, because I cried out to the Lord, and I cried out to the Lord, and he says, look at Hebrews 12. So I'm telling you what he told me. Let's go to Hebrews 12. That's page 1048 for those of you having trouble finding that. But it's Hebrews 12, chapter 5. No, 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Relationship, okay? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Please, if the Lord is not chastening you, cry out to him. Spank me, Dad. Okay? Whoa. If your conscience is so seared, you know, you need a skin transplant, heart transplant. It's an honor when God chastens you. You hear me? Amen? Oh, you're a pervert, Carl. Well, maybe I was anyway, but I'm not anymore. Folks, to be chastened of the Lord is he's yanking out that stuff that's rooted down deep. Now, unless we get rid of those things, we cannot see deliverance. Okay? Now, we're talking about the church here, and it says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges. Whoa, that's a whooping. When I got out of line, when I was a kid, and you get just so far out of line, you ever get it with a willow switch? My mama would say, go cut a switch. Fortunately, it only happened a couple times. And she, first time, she said, if you, my nickname was Butch. That didn't mean a female dyke, it meant something else. But, you know, I've been around a while. But the thing about it is that she says, don't cut a flimsy one. Because if I go cut one, it's going to be a tough one. You know what you got coming. Well, see, she didn't really want to whoop me, but I needed a whooping. But he says, whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth, and he scourges. He whoops on every son and daughter who he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. You know, it's amazing. You know what my mom did after she whooped on me? She let it sit for a little while, and then she come over. I got some of the best hugging out of my mom that I ever got, you know, because she loved me. That was one thing I knew. Man, I had welts on my fanny. But you know what? I knew my mama loved me. You know why? Not because of the whooping. It was because I endured it and the love that followed. See? So when God is dealing with something in your life, just reach out to him. Let's quit making excuses. Hey, folks, I'm talking to Carl Fox, maybe more than you, okay? All right? But this is where deliverance comes from. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. Isn't that beautiful? For what son is it? Is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Well, it says, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. We have heads of denominations. We have heads of ministries that are not being chastened. And that's when I started learning this, because I was crying out, Lord, why aren't you chastening these guys? There are so many people being hurt. And when I seen this, I cried, because one of them was a friend of mine. You know, I love the man. But you know, if you go to Deuteronomy 23, I think it is, right? Verse 2, it says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. I said, Lord, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. I need to know, how does that fit today? We're talking today. You're not a God of the past. We got problems here. What is going on? He said, Carl, and he knows my name. Amazing. But he said, Carl, the problem is that we have a whole body of believers that does not have relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said, there are more Christians outside the churches than in the churches. God said that. And come on, you know it's true. How many of you know a really Christian, that man, they lay hands on you, pray for you, whoop, things happen, and that you can't get them in the church? Come on, get real quiet. This is a very convicting thing. My grandfather on my mom's side was a powerful man of God. I mean, he's out in the Dakotas in the wintertime when he got the crops put in. you know, and he's out there preaching. You know, he'd go in an old schoolhouse and start a fire, and in the stove, of course. And he'd get things warmed up, and pretty soon the old cowboys and stuff would start coming in. And yet, he got so burned out. I remember just not long before he died, he said, "When I die," he said, "don't have my funeral in the church because of the rejection and the problems." Now, this is a lot of years ago. I was a little kid. See, it's not a new thing. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. But I'll tell you what, if you're a religious creep and you're chasing people away, then not long before I left Tennessee and moved to Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. Isn't that a wonderful name? Truth or Consequences. Maybe that's life. But one night I sat up, I heard a tornado. I commanded to keep right on going over the house in the name of Jesus and fell asleep. In fact, as I sat up in the morning, I thought, and I remembered the prayer. And so I got up and I got cleaned up. I thought, I better see where that thing landed. Well, it was right down on the corner, not far from where you live, Bruce, and where I live. And this tornado, it picked up a trailer house. There's a mother and she had two retarded children. Picked it up, threw them out, and come down and cut her right in two. And there's blood and it's messy. And I'm just standing there, and these two guys, they're preachers, and they're legends in their own mind. You know, they got the special walk, and, you know. And they said, "Brother Carl." For a long time, they were calling me brother, probably. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not too sure about this brother stuff, but I said, "What?" And they said, "That lady's in hell now." I said, "Oh, really?" "Yep, she's in hell." I said, "Why do you say that?" "She hasn't been to church for 8 years." And I said, "Gentlemen," and I use that name, that term loosely. That's exactly what I said. I use that term very loosely. I said, "You know what? About 3 months ago, she was at the mailbox." I said, "I stopped and talked to that lady. She's a Christian. She's dead now. She was a Christian, but she's so hurt and had been driven out of so many churches, she gave up." And I says, "You better drop to your knees, baby, if you're one of them preachers that drove her out." Well, needless to say, I didn't make any friends that day. But come on. One of the greatest missionary fields in America is the Christian church. And a lot of it's scattered. And it's a serious issue. It's a very serious issue. You know, and I go to some of these people, and some of them we've got to turn around. But, you know, because they got to forgive too. You know, if we that have been driven out, let's say we've all been driven out. Some of you have, the Lord told me. So some of you are hitting real close to your heart. But I'll tell you what, if you'll get together and go into church and praise God like we're doing tonight and just love, them goats that have drove you out are going to have to leave. Okay? Seriously. But, folks, you cannot have a great relationship with Jesus Christ without having a relationship with me. Because I'm part of the body. And with him and her. See, if you're avoiding them because it's painful, it's time to start ministering to them. Just because they don't accept you, give me a break. They didn't accept Jesus. Right? Did he quit? Thank God he didn't. I believe we're in the end days. How about you guys? All right? Okay, that's not a sacred cow. We realize it, right? Well, isn't it time that we start working? Why aren't we talking? Good Lord, you live in the Bible Belt. In fact, in some of the places in the Bible Belt, it's the hole that the little thing goes through. When I live in Carroll County, Tennessee, I took it up to leadership of the county religious, and I said, "See that right there?" And that's what I've done. I'm kind of crazy. I said, "This is the part of the Bible Belt you guys are. It's a big old hole." You know, I don't care, you know. Now, we're not here to be friends with everybody. Ask God to give you the wisdom on how to reach these people. You know, it's real easy to love everybody in this room because you're all loving. Right? Can you turn around and tell everybody, "I love you"? Huh? Do it. Amen. No pain in that, was there? See? And guess what? Everybody received it. "Hey, brother, I love you." Amen? You love me? God bless you. I know you do. Because you've got Spirit of God in you burning just like the rest of us do, brother. You come here for deliverance and God's going to deliver you. You know why? You got a powerful call on your life, and that's why the enemy's trying to break you. And it's not an accident that you haven't been broken, and it's not an accident that you're here. It's God that led you here, okay? And God's got a wonderful mission for you. And you just depend. You just depend on the Lord. Not anything else. The Lord is going to see you through, brother. Because you're here because you love God. All right? You know, God is so great. I talked to Dr. Bill about something I got to deal with in Romania. I don't want to. And I asked him to be praying about it. Well, obviously he did. Because when you prophesied, man, you hit it right on the head. See? I was sitting back there. He called me out. You know what? We do this in front of the body. You know why? Because we're body. Don't feel ashamed. Don't let intimidation and all these kind of things keep you away from being set free. All right? Don't let it happen. Because there's nobody here whose feet doesn't stink sometimes, right? Amen, right? Okay? All your breasts stink sometimes, right? Unless you eat some onions and sweeten it up. We figured out in Romania that's the national breath mint, onions. So that's what we eat. We eat onions and their breath don't bother us. But see, we got a job to do. And the goats, you know, I won't go any further with it, really, but the goats have had so much authority. You know, it really blesses me. The praise tonight was great, wasn't it? You know, nobody was up here performing. They didn't even half the time probably know we were there because they were just praising the Lord. Right, brother? I don't know who else is up there, but y'all, see, that's relationship, see? We have a responsibility to have relationship. And it can only be as good between us as it is with the Lord. He's that cushion. He's that lubricator that helps when the muscles get tight. You know, sure, we're going to have disagreements. We're not always going to. Sometimes we're going to get really offended. But one thing I want you to be aware of, that one of the main devils that works with that I've found, and I believe it to be true, is the spirit of offense. Somebody that has the bastard curse, the spirit of offense is one of the main things that keeps them from being set free. It seems like that's the strong man that's been assigned. It's a serious issue. And when we get set free of this, it's amazing. I can remember, I'll tell my wife, she was here, she'd get up and say, Carl, I need to share this, because she's done it in public meetings. Her mother was illegitimate, a bastard. And guess what? That made my wife that. When her and I got married, that made me that. But it was in my bloodline, too. I don't think there's a bloodline that's pure of that. I just don't believe it. 10 generations? Come on. You know, oh, but they got married before the baby was born. Well, hallelujah. It's still a bastard child until you repent. And where does it start? Generation number one was my wife's grandparents. See, generation two was her mom. My wife was generation three. But I remember when we broke that curse and just spoke the blessings. And the blessing is to be able to come in the congregation of the Lord to have fellowship. It just was so sweet. And Sheila said, I got to go see Mom. And away she went, you know. And her mom said, Sheila, and her mom is one of the people that's so easily offended. It's like, you know, sometimes you got to check with the Lord. Should I smile now? And, you know, mother-in-law jokes. But, you know, she has changed so much since that's been broken because she lived her whole life. She's 78 years old, I think. And her whole life she lived under this pressure. And Satan just pressure. Nobody in the family ever talked about it. After all, it wasn't her fault. But there was that pressure thing. And when she got freed up of it, yeah, she's just changing. She's getting more lovable all the time. And she said to Sheila, she says, honey, when you broke that thing off of me, she says, it was like light shined right through me. She says, I feel so clean. Well, when that curse is broken, you don't always feel so clean because you can't depend on feelings, right? All right? But I'll tell you, it's a real issue. And if we will go, we got brothers and sisters in Christ that are scattered away from the congregation of the Lord. See the church. Give me a break. The church isn't a building. The church is a people. It's a called out, the ecclesia, the call to the Lord. But, you know, all right, if you don't get them into a building, that doesn't mean you failed. How about they start hanging around with Christians more? See, isn't that a start? You know, we got a responsibility because they're our family. You know, we're supposed to look out for our family, aren't we? Right? Well, get used to it, folks. I'm family. All right? You know, when we bite and devour one another, and a lot of that comes because Satan has authority in the congregation to cause this. It's not our job to do these things, folks. And I look forward to what Jim is going to share on that, but it's a wonderful thing. We have seen, I've taught this thing for a few years now, and we've seen churches that were broken, messed up, falling apart, nobody coming, in debt, they couldn't even pay their utility bill. The building was paid for, they couldn't pay their utility bill. Okay? And you break that bastard curse, the pastor repented, you know, and but in his own life, and the next thing you know, the church starts filling back up again. See, those of you who are pastors, and you want to fill the church back up, that's how you do it. And you guess what? And this is what every one of them that I've worked with them on this, and it works in Romanian too, not just English. But you know, those people that haven't been coming, guess where they've been hanging out? With the lost. So when they get blessed and they start feeling good, whoa, my bad back is healed. I feel good. You know, and they start telling about it. Guess what? They start bringing these people. The church grows. Evangelism starts to happen. See, deliverance brings evangelism. All right? Evangelism is reaching out to a lost world. How many of you been here before? Okay. Do you go home and not tell anybody where you've been? Huh? You tell people, don't you? Guess what? That's evangelizing. See, because you're talking about the good things that God done for you. And if not for you, somebody was sitting next to you and they got set free. See, God cares more than you're ever going to know on this earth. Jesus paid a bigger price than you're ever going to understand. The Word of God is a greater truth than your mind has an ability to conceive it and understand it in your life, okay? Because who was it? Somebody was talking to, Doc was talking about it. He was, a verse he was talking about. He'd read that a lot of years, and God just opened it up. All of us experienced that because the Word of God is alive. God sacrificed His Word for you. And you're going to get healed in that, Jeff. Okay? God sacrificed His Word. Because when Jesus died, you know what happened? The Word of God died. Isn't that amazing? God risked it all when Jesus was tossed into that tomb, placed in that tomb. The living Word of God was dead. The world was so dark because the Word of God was dead. But I want you to know this, folks. When He got up, the living Word of God got back up. Jesus was and is the Word of God living. The Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. What it says, right? See, that's the living Word. You got the same Spirit in you that raised Jesus from the dead. And if that don't give you a quiver and a twitch, then we're going to raise some dead tonight. We got it, folks. What are you going to do with it? Sit on it? It's like the advertisement I've seen. Don't be caught dead sitting on your seatbelt, you know? Thought that was catchy. But, see, we got the Word and we're sitting on it. You know, we need to speak. You know, the more you will speak the Word, you know what's going to happen? the more the Word is going to speak into your life. The living Word of God speaking into you. You know, God called me to do some pretty wild things, and I wasn't prepared for it. You know, there's hundreds of people that have been healed from calling us and praying, and they get healed. Now, the wildest things you can imagine, you want, okay? But you know what? I was 19 years old before I ever used a telephone. I was afraid of the telephone. We never had one in our farmhouse. We lived so far from civilization that the mailman delivered it, you know? And not much of it. Thank God for that. But, you know, motivation. I had this pretty little girl that I really wanted to date. The only way I was going to get a date is I had to call her. I had to overcome the fear of that telephone. You know, I called her. I got a date. I can't remember her name or what she looks like today. But, you know what? I overcome a fear. You know, I never traveled, and yet he's had me in all over the world. You know, probably all of you are more qualified to speak than me. You know, I know a little bit of several languages, including English. But you know what? If you got the boldness and the faith to speak it, God has put me before statesmen. I was invited to speak before the whole parliament of the nation of Romania. The president, the vice president, and both cabinets. They call it the parliament. And I was the only American that's ever invited to do that, including the politicians. And I was the only American that said, no, thank you. But God says, no, I need you to go. And so we went where I was. He wanted me to go. And I got to meet the king of the gypsies. See? So, you know, here's the whole leadership of a nation, and God takes me over to meet the king of the gypsies, of people that are, you know, the world looks really down, way down their nose at them. And, you know, the neat thing about it was that nobody got offended because I didn't go out to the parliament either. Because I explained to him, I said, I wish I'd have had more notice. I can't be two places at once, you know. And I never got invited back. But, see, God will bring you into the places where He wants you to be if you will be faithful to obey Him. You know, we have all these books written about spiritual warfare, and they're pretty good. But you can cover all of it in one word, two syllables, obey. That's spiritual warfare. Obey. Okay? You understand me? What did I say?
Obey.
Obey. That is spiritual warfare. You know, Deuteronomy 28 says that if you obey, you have all those blessings. And if you don't obey, you got all them curses. And they're not nice. See? It's the same thing. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and speak. The world starts where you're at. You may not go to other nations. Then help the ones that do. Pray for them. Throw some coins their way. I'm not begging you for anything. I never have and I never will. I told God years ago when I was younger, I had a business as a contractor. I worked 40, 50 hours a week and I ministered that many. I didn't need a lot of sleep. Well, the day come, He got me so busy and I needed a little more sleep. And I said, okay, God. But I wouldn't let anybody give any money to the ministry. It was a pride issue. Okay, and anyway, what happened was I said, okay, God, I'll go, and I'll give away my business, and I did, all the equipment. And I said, but the day that the funds don't come in is the day that I know that you fired me. And then I'm going to go to work, and I know how to make money, and I will make money, but I will not go back out again. I'll help the ones that will go. And you know what? He's always taking care of our finances because He's faithful. I had somebody say, how dare you talk to God like that? I said, well, your denial of Him is a lot harsher language. At least I was being honest. And then someone came to me, they'd heard what I'd said, and they said, you know what Smith Wigglesworth said? Now, I'll never be able to stand in that man's shadow, okay? And he told God basically the same thing. If I don't have two suits and two pairs of dress shoes or something like that, he said, I'm not going to do it. Amen. See? See, God, if you can't trust God, who can you trust? Amen? You can take your rewards on this earth and you can live in your comfort zone, and the devil will steal it from you. Or you can say full speed ahead, and you start moving, and you'll have so many rewards in eternity, and here on earth too, that you won't have time to keep up with them. You know, the gypsy people, you know, to me it's an honor. You know what they say about me? They say, Carl's got gypsy blood. To me, that's an honor. Okay? Because it's the blood of Jesus, right? See, and as they're accepting the Lord, that's exactly. See, they got the Lord Jesus Christ, this hope, glory in them. You know, they call me their father. Well, that doesn't offend me. I don't let it puff my head up either. But see, that is relationship. There's all kinds of people working the gypsies today, but nothing really happened until the night in Galena, Romania, and we had about 500 of them around us, and I broke the curse off of them. And it's in the 109th Psalm. And I broke that curse. You know, and God says, you know, I want you to tell them they're cursed. I says, yeah, right. You know, look at the numbers. Well, he didn't even answer me. You know, I didn't deserve an answer. He says, the 109th Psalm. It was just like you, Doc. I'd read that so many times. I knew it was about Judas Iscariot. And then he showed me that that's where the gypsies came from, was the daughters of Judas Iscariot. Isn't that amazing? And I said, those of you that want to be free of the curse that you have on your lives, you raise your right arm and don't put it down until I say amen. And this poor little 17-year-old girl was my interpreter, and her voice was shaking because there's only 14 Christians, counting me and her. And I was praying, and then the Spirit of God's moved me to say the words. I'm saying them, and then I got to wait for her to interpret them and not lose my connection with God. So I'm doing stuff like this. I would go like this, and they'd go like that. I'd go like that. I'm just making sure we're still in this thing. Well, anyway, when I said amen, they were so excited, and I'd done probably the quickest salvation message I've ever done in my life. And I said, those of you that want to accept Jesus in your life, I want you to put up both arms, and don't you put them down until I say amen. Every hand was in the air that night. Amen? I came back 3 months later, and the heads of the denomination called me into a meeting. And I'm kind of a maverick. They don't even talk to me anymore. But they said, you got to do something about these gypsies. I said, what do you mean? They said, they haven't been seminary or anything, and they've started 60 churches since you were here. I said, hallelujah. All I can say is I'm getting out of the way. You know why they did it? They had something. They've gone all over the world taking the curses off of their people and speaking blessings. When I met the king of the gypsies, and there's princes, and there's kings, and there's one that is the king. And when I met him, this brother Cornell jumps out of the car. He said, Carl, that's the king of the gypsies. You got to meet him. I said, no, we got to get back to Bucharest. He said, no. And out the car he goes. And when he started across the street, there had bodyguards come from everywhere. I mean, this man's protected. And, you know, they got him surrounded. And he said, you know, Carl Fox is in the car. He wants to meet the king. And the king heard it, and he came across the street, and he was there before I could get out of that car. And he was crying, and he hugged me, and he said, thank you for what you've done for my people. I said, sir, I have done nothing for your people. God has done it, and Jesus Christ paid the price. He says, brother, and I call you brother because he says, I myself am a Christian, and I'm the pastor of a church. Can you imagine going to a church and a king is a pastor? That's the way all churches are supposed to be. It's supposed to be King Jesus. Amen? See, God will put you where He needs you if you will go. It's that simple. He will do it. We don't try to control them and manipulate them. We just go in. I go in sometimes 4 times a year and put out the fires and stop the fights and the battles and, you know, and turn them loose. And we support, our ministry supports key ministries. And they're very volatile people. But they've got a passion for Jesus that I wish we had. I remember the first time I talked about the curse of the bastard in one of the gypsy churches. And my interpreter says, I will not say that word. I have never said that word. She was a Scottish girl. We're very good friends today. But I thought our friendship was going to end, you know. And I said, but you got to. It's in the Bible. I don't care. I will not let that word come out from between my lips. She said, I said, then say illegitimate. She said, if I say illegitimate, they're going to know that you wanted me to say bastard. I said, you said the word! It's okay to have fun, okay? Well, anyway, what happened was an old gypsy lady jumped up and she said, bastardo, bastardo! And they all jumped up. Well, they knew, okay? And then she was able to say that word, okay, without being tricked into it. But that church, literally, that church has had such a movement of the word that it's become churches. They have such a powerful youth group. Last winter, and I got pictures, I don't have them with me, but I have pictures. Brother John, in order to keep up with the baptisms, they had to chop a hole in the ice. The ice was like this thick. And he showed me these pictures. He says, Brother Carl, he said, these people will stand. They had to get in that ice water to be baptized. That's real commitment. I said, Brother John, I hope they have half the commitment you got. He said, what do you mean? I says, you baptized 48 people with getting out. He never even thought about himself, see, because he's got a heart to serve. And then his wife, Rita, says to me, of course, it's through an interpreter. She said, you know what? He didn't even get the sniffles. I said, because he loves God and he's got faith. See, if you will go and just start speaking the word to tell people about Jesus, wherever you are, if you never even go across the state line, okay? But start doing it, please. You will enjoy it. You really will. Will people get mad at you? Yeah, it's wonderful. You know? It's not the people getting mad at you, it's the devils. They don't like the name of Jesus. You know, just take that name of Jesus and rub it in their nose. You know? Every knee has got to bow, folks. Why not now? Right? Well, I went on longer than I probably was supposed to. But I love you. And I look forward to tomorrow morning. And I really encourage you all. You got a lot of visit and stuff to do, but please get some rest. This is the start of a week that is going to be a lot of work for all of us, okay? All of us. I said you too, all right? It's going to take faith. It's going to take loving people, praying for people. You know, and they talked about this is where we pray for people. The prayer I'm talking about is if you see somebody hurting, just as you're walking along, just be praying for them. Some of you speak in tongues. Speak in tongues for them as you're walking, okay? That's, and I don't know how you could ever top the last camp or the one before, but let this, our goal be, I'm going to say this without even asking your permission, you can tell me to shut up real quick, I will, but let this, our heart be, that this is the greatest camp that's ever happened at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, okay? You know, if we set our minds in agreement with the Lord and with one another, that's what's going to happen. So are you in agreement with that? Amen? Well, I love you. God bless you. And I'd like to have you all stand and I'm going to pray. Do you love the Lord? Okay. Well, I want you to just repeat with me, and it's going to be, last time I did one, well, it isn't, but I'm so used to stopping and waiting for an interpreter. I'll try not to do that. But Father, these are your people. And I want you to just before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. Not well, but we love you. Help us, Lord God, to learn love. To learn to love one another greater today than yesterday. And to grow in love, Father. And I thank you that you have always loved us with all that you have. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're a faithful brother and a faithful son of God. I thank you for the price that you paid. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we promise, if you don't agree with this, shut up. We promise to give you the glory. We take none for ourselves. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you said that anything whatsoever we ask the Father in your name, that you would do it, that the Father get the glory. Jesus, we will give the Father the glory. And God, we do glorify you. And we thank you. And we, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for forgiveness. And we repent of the sins of our forefathers. We repent of that bastard curse. In the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus, you paid for this on the cross. I accept what you've done for me. And I command those shackles that have been put on my life be broken in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you the glory. We receive the blessing now that we can come into the congregation of the Lord. That we will know how to love one another. And to love you, Jesus, and you, Heavenly Father. Jesus, you said the way to the Father was through you. So we seek your love, that you would bring us into the Father. Father, I receive sound rest tonight. In the name of Jesus, the price has been paid. And we give you all our cares in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for taking care of our children. We thank you for taking care of our pets. To take care of our businesses. And all of our concerns.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.